to Frog Week here on the Tobin and Leroy Show. It's been a solid show thus far. We've been drinking Jimmy Butler's tears. We've been counting various bullpens. Got to hear from Show Pony earlier. It's been a good time, man. Let's go ahead and get to some more headlines. These headlines brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. At Doral Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen. We mentioned multiple times your Miami Heat victorious against those bums out of Golden State, led by King Bum Jimmy Butler, put up 11 points in their 86-112 loss. Now, I was listening to the post game yesterday, as they normally play, people from the locker room or what they may be saying. Unfortunately, something happened with Jimmy Butler's audio that it just wasn't playable for radio. But I do have some quotes about how mature Jimmy Butler was trying to be following the game. Mind you, this started with a Taylor Rooks quote that was released just before tip-off, in which Jimmy Butler was quoted as saying, "I got nothing to say to Pat, and he better have nothing to say to me." Which is like, all right, I mean, he usually doesn't say much anyway, so strange, but okay. All
right. That's a little intense.
So like,
it was intense. I feel like that was a little...
too much.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? You tell Gal Gadot she's got no chance with me, all right? Like, it's what, dude? No one ever thought that she was going to have... It's just crazy things to say, Jimmy Butler. Nonetheless, the game started with a video tribute of some of Jimmy's best moments in a Miami Heat uniform. About that honor video that was made, he says, like I always say, I got a lot of love for the city and the fan base. The video was nice. I won't say there's a lot of emotions, though. I think I went into this level-headed. We wanted to win the game. On the Heat crowd booing him when he touched the ball, Butler responded, "That don't bother me. It's going to happen in a lot of places. I guess it's going to happen here now, too." When asked if the Heat's tribute video for him took him back, Butler was a little bit more reflective during this response. He said, "Yeah, I mean, takes me back to some good times when I was wearing a Miami Heat jersey. I'm very appreciative of those times to help me become the player that I am in this league. The individual that I am in this league, the teammate, leader, all of those things. I don't think I could be who I am today without my opportunity here. I tell you that." And to that, I say,
nobody cares about perspective now.
Damage is done, James. It's not his name, but still. He continued to say, "I mean, I see it for what it is. A chapter has ended. I'm very appreciative of my time here, the bonds that I built here," even though he couldn't even stay around after the final buzzer to say hello to anyone. "You know, when you look down the road, I mean, this was a huge part of my career. So I continue to say that I'm very grateful. And I ain't spiteful for it towards nobody. Like I always say, I'm grateful for the opportunity. I love the fan base. It's not bad. It's not all bad." I was hearing a conversation yesterday between the Hockman and Crowder show about how this era of basketball within the Heat organization will be remembered. If this is something that people will talk about a decade from now, or will this be a blip in the radar that people will briefly mention? What do you guys think? Do you think this is something that, like the Jimmy Butler era, was this something significant enough to be brought up 10 years from now? Or will people be able to move on from this easily?
With most of the other eras, even with the Tim Hardaway era, they didn't win the championship, but it always felt like they were close, right? With the Jimmy Butler era, I will look at it this way. They had a stretch of basketball, the Miami Heat, where even when they did something wrong, it worked out. Being that you were in the play-in, what, two of the last 3 years?
Yeah.
And made it to the finals 1 year.
Correct.
That's an anomaly. And so to look at it.
Three Eastern Conference finals, though.
Right.
Two finals. To look at it
as a success.
Yeah.
When a month before that, you were wondering if you were going on the right path. Right? I would just look at it and saying, hey, remember when Jimmy Butler played for the Heat? He was awesome. And that's it. Right? Like,
I don't know, man.
Even though they made it to a finals and to three Eastern Conference championships, at any point in time did you think this team could win a championship? Everything would have to go their way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But any of those teams that they played, did you ever say, oh, we competing for a championship? Or did you say, we're here with a chance?
No, it was always we're here with a chance. Jimmy Butler was always playing with less than the opposing team. Now, I will say, though, we reflect upon, you know, Tim Hardaway's era and Alonzo Mourning's era, other than the championship, obviously, that he ended up finally achieving in 06. But, you know, I'm talking more of when he was the forefront of things. We speak of that era, you know, very highly. And I'll say that I have more memorable moments. Of course, you know, it is more recently. But I can name historical moments from this Jimmy Butler era that are going to go on for, like, you know, the rest of time. I think that him leaning over in the 2020, you know, exhausted against the Lakers, that's a moment that will be forever, you know, embody Heat culture. I think the fact that we were able to get from play-in to the actual championship is something you'll never be able to, because it's not just a championship run. You know, there's teams that, you know, the Orlando Magic had a championship run against the Lakers, and no one cares about whatever the hell. The Atlanta Hawks recently had a really good team.
Here's the other thing you'll remember about this era of Heat basketball. When you beat the Celtics.
Yeah.
And they made moves. And you tried to stay with the same group of people. Right?
You're getting negative, Leroy. I don't want to get negative.
I'm not getting negative. I'm just saying that look at what Boston did to beat you. And look at what you did to beat Boston.
You're getting negative, Leroy. Again, you're getting negative. That is true. It's very true. Obviously, we stayed stagnant while the rest of the East, to be honest, because Cleveland has surpassed us. Detroit has seemingly surpassed us.
The Knicks.
I mean, you can never trust the Knicks, though. I mean,
they've surpassed you. Really, they've surpassed you.
Yes, talent-wise, they have surpassed us.
And swept your ass.
Did they sweep us? Or did they sweep a Jimmy Butler-less? You know, anyway. People throwing up on the court. It's just a raggedy place up there.
I mean, when you see the Heat play at the end, during that 10-game losing streak, yeah, you damn right you're going to throw up.
No, maybe it just reminded him of all the Knick basketball he's been able to enjoy over the past 10 years.
No.
Because that's been going great.
No, he saw a 10-point
people don't
lead.
Go to the Knick games for the Knicks. They go for the event.
You wildin'.
It's a stage.
MSG.
It's imagine everyone's like,
stop. Let's not even compare MSG to Kaseya Center. Stop.
No, MSG is nice.
I'm not complaining.
Let's not even compare the fan base that goes to the games to the fan base. Let's stop.
You're right. The MSG is an Airbnb and the fan base is obnoxious tenants.
What's an Airbnb?
Madison Square Garden.
You mean Kaseya Center?
No way.
There's more fans of the other team than there are the Heat fans.
Everyone knows that everyone loves to play Madison Square Garden because everyone loves to drop 40.
Last night.
Look at Spike Lee. You should have
seen all the number 30 blue and gold jerseys that were walking away.
Everyone loves Steph Curry. I can't control that. He's a baby face of the league.
I'm just
saying. But people know when you go to Trae Young has a minority stake in Madison Square Garden. LeBron James owns a wing, if I'm not mistaken. There's so many people who have had their best performance.
Michael Jordan has his number retired in your city.
That's ridiculous.
Okay. Let's not even talk about anything.
That is ridiculous. So what are we doing with that? We had Dan Marino's jersey up there. Jesus Christ, Pat. With that being said, Jimmy Butler's a bum and he got what he deserved.
Okay. Can I answer this? Is this that? Are we done now? Is
I
this
feel like
over?
We're done. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We don't have to mention that man's name.
I was done before that.
No, it was never going to be done until this game.
Right. Yeah. No, but I'm just saying I was done in that I can say, you don't play for the Heat no more. Like, get over it. Right? But he came back here to play, and guess what?
Yeah.
He played exactly the way he had been playing for the Heat the last year. So if you're wondering if Jimmy Butler can do that WWE stuff and pull up some unknown power like he's trying to call Thor's hammer.
It's called playoffs.
Playoffs?
Okay, but okay. We listen, as you get older, you think you can keep doing that. And the fact of the matter is you can't. So while everybody was saying to me, don't worry, Jimmy will crank it up. Jimmy will crank it up. Jimmy will crank it up. Like when you start getting 35 plus, no, you can't. I don't care who you are. Even LeBron, as great as LeBron has been for the last few years, he picks and chooses his spots now.
Well, of course, he's 40.
But I'm just saying, but he's been doing that for a couple of years. So you think if LeBron picks his spots, that Jimmy gonna just be able to, and LeBron has an advantage that he's bigger than half the people on the court. So he can get away with picking his spots. This is not a knock on what Jimmy has been. This is a knock on what Jimmy will be. And if anybody thinks that, oh no, just wait till they get in the playoffs, okay, here's what you're gonna get. Jimmy Butler's going to average 15 to 20 points. He's going to be he's avoiding defense all of a sudden, right? He's guarding the guy who ain't moving. I don't know if it's because that's the situation being without Steph or whatever, but that's what he's doing. And now when he picks his spots, he got to take a break, right? So remember when in the second half when he thought, uh-oh, Jimmy about to do something, and then he take it down and just start getting the ball out of his hands.
But Jimmy's in the perfect position.
He is, as long as he's not number one.
Where he doesn't, exactly. He does not have to be a number one anymore. He's number two. He can play the Jimmy game.
Is it fair to say he's kind of always been this? He didn't want to be the guy you had to depend on 25, 30 points a night?
In Miami, he had to be.
When it got to the point where he couldn't, right? And we all gave him excuses. The problem is he's getting older. That's okay. It happens. But don't just think that you was going to always get the Jimmy Butler that you got when he first got here. That was my whole argument. Stop telling me about playoff Jimmy and playoff this. Jimmy's getting older. He can't crank it up like he used to be able to. And to be honest with you, there's not a whole bunch of people that can. Because even when you watch LeBron play, he picks and chooses. He picks his moments.
Well, yeah.
He just happens to be a lot bigger than Jimmy.
And he also has a Luka.
Right. Well, now he has a Luka and he had an AD.
Exactly. That's what Jimmy wanted. That's what basically Jimmy was saying.
They tried.
And in the long run, if you really think about it, In the long run, it was a good thing y'all didn't get Dame.
Let me ask you a question.
Look at that.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask an honest question.
Visionary.
Jimmy wanted the extension to be the number one, but didn't want to be the number one?
You don't know why he wanted the extension. He wanted the
money. He wanted the extension because that was
He didn't want the responsibility. I don't think he wanted the responsibility. I think that's why he wanted Dame. I think that's why he wanted Bam or Tyler to step up, because he was just tired. He doesn't want to play basketball anymore, guys. He wants to go to Miami Open and drink coffee and play dominoes, go to Art Basel and Miami Music Week. That's all he wants to do. He's done with basketball. And that's why he came back to Miami and he showed us exactly who we thought he was. A loser.
No, that's not true. There's a lot of people that thought that Jimmy, like Vlad said, Jimmy was going to go out and score 40, 50.
I thought he was going to be petty. I wanted to see
petty. I don't think
I bet you would want to see
of
that.
Of course. Listen, I'm from the. You know,
I'm petty too. I'm petty too. I'm petty with a lot of people, but I can't fight them because I get my ass kicked.
You want to fight Chuck Norris?
Because I'm old.
Yeah, why you want to fight Chuck Norris, though?
Chuck Norris, I kick Chuck Norris' ass. Okay. I don't know. Y'all can line up Chuck Norris and all his his Parcheesi friends, and I'll hold through them like some chips.
Parcheesi friends?
I don't know what y'all talking about. All right. No, that's too old. That's
what
too
if
old.
He goes after your weakness, Leroy?
What is my weakness? Try to step on my toes?
Boo.
Your thumbs.
Ooh, thumbs.
My thumbs?
Yeah.
He ain't going to get that close.
Yeah.
Huh. What are you talking about? It's walking Texas Ranger, baby.
My forearms are the same size as that dude's legs.
He lasso your thumbs.
Jesus.
Really? You think I'm going to give him time to take a piece of rope and swirl it around and throw it at
y'all
me?
Y'all both old. By the time he throws it, by the time he
when he starts all rope, them little machinations and trickery and trickeration, I'm bum rushing him.
Nah, Chuck Norris is 85, though. That's a different level of old.
85. Y'all still talking about Chuck Norris kicking my ass ass. Dude,
I was,
listen, I kick Chuck Norris' ass and go straight to jail because then y'all want me arrested for kicking old man.
Nah, you can't. By the way, you can't go to jail for this old on old crime.
this is just.
So, no, what's my cutoff?
50? 65.
65?
Yeah.
See, even at 65, I feel like, well, 9 years from now, right? 9 years from now, I can't even say that. That's just too, that's ridiculous.
What, 9 years from now, you think you still could beat Chuck Norris? I would hope so. He'll be like 94 by that time.
That's what I'm saying. No. That sounds stupid. That sounds stupid. That we even having this conversation is ridiculous.
I think at 85.
I would kick Chuck Norris' ass.
85, he's got one kick left.
Wait. You could have took.
I don't know if he's going to be kicking.
I could take Chuck Norris. Let me see. We can go back till I'm 40 and he's whatever he is. He's 83 now, so he's 17 years. When I was 40, he was 57.
Yeah. Oh, I got you.
I was still kicking.
No, I got Chuck Norris.
Are you kidding me?
No, I got 57-year-old Chuck Norris.
No, you don't.
Yeah,
dude.
He's still looking at us.
No, because I got 57-year-old Leroy, easily. But 57.
Over 80-something-year-old Chuck Norris. Nah, they ain't no here.
A lot of people are still taking Chuck Norris at this
point. Hey, wait a minute. Hold on. How old is Chuck Norris?
83.
And how old are you, Leroy?
56.
So he's got 27 years on you. Ain't no 40.
27.
It's 27, not 17.
Oh, that's right.
27. Yeah. So 40-year-old Leroy was going to lose his 67-year-old. He just got into Social Security. Yeah, he's still whooping your ass.
Yeah, I still got 67-year-old
Dude,
Chuck Norris.
What is wrong with you, Vlad? Vlad,
I'm just
when I was 40 years old, I would pick your ass up by your legs and beat Chuck Norris' ass with
as you. As you should. You could use me as a prop, but Chuck Norris is still, at 67, still got you. 57, I don't think he got you right now. 87, I'm just, but you know, but 67, when he just got Social Security, oh yeah, he's walking Texas Ranger in that ass all game. Dude, all
I got 73-year-old Chuck Norris, potentially. No, okay. All right, we've gone on too long. We got to go on break. Len's texting me. He said that I'm fired if we don't go to break.
Or you go on break, Leroy has.
But, Leroy, please tell us about A&T.
For the best dry cleaning in South Florida, you got to use our friends over at A&T Dry Cleaners. Ara is our boy. How many of you are sick of not getting that direct care? Bad customer service. That's never the case with A&T Dry Cleaners. You can text or call Ara at any time. His number is 954-610-9383. That's 954-610-9383. A&T Dry Cleaning has been around for 40 years and they're family owned. You know what that means? Mama does the sewing. They will pick up and drop off your orders. They service all of South Florida, Dade, Broward, and Southern Palm Beaches. You need alterations done. You need your school clothes, prom dresses, wedding dresses, suits. I know you guys got hanging on to that suit you had since high school. You need some help. Call my guy, Ara. You need some help. And he's a fan of the show. So here's what you do. You mention our name, Tobin and Leroy, you get 25% off your order. That's right, 25% off. All you have to do is call or text our 954-610-9383 at any time. He will hook you up. He will give you an idea of how long it would take your clothes to be fixed. You can even come and pick them up. All that service just for that, from one dry cleaners. Just give our call, 954-610-9383, and I promise you, once you use A&T Dry Cleaners, you'll never launder your own clothes again.
Welcome back to the Tobin and Leroy Show. It has been a plethora of laughs and silly sauces all day. You know who else has been on television, probably putting on a good show? LeBron James. He was on Pat McAfee.
Yes, sir. I'm watching it. It's airing right now.
Yeah, he had some things to say, including appointing a new co-host. He has a podcast. Of course, you know, LeBron James got his last podcast co-host a head coaching job. And he may be looking to do the same with this new co-host. He announces none other than Steve Nash. He'll be hosting a podcast, Mind the Game Season 2, with Steve Nash as a co-host. It will debut on April 1st. And, yeah, how do you think that's going to do? LeBron and Steve Nash going back and forth talking basketball. Anything you're interested in? No? Mm-mm.
I mean, this is going to be two smart guys talking about basketball.
Yeah.
I think you need somebody with a little more volatility to go at LeBron.
Ooh. You don't think Steve Nash is going to ask the questions that are going to...
No, it's not that. Uh-huh. Listen. Tobin's very smart about radio. I like to think I know what I'm talking about when it comes to sports.
Mm-hmm.
But together, if we were the same person, this show wouldn't have the same, you know, punch to it.
Yes.
Like, so you kind of need that. I won't say, like, I hate when people say, we can't agree, so I'm just going to be a contrarian. I don't like that. I like, if that's what you believe, go with it. If not, don't be fake. But you also can't have a show where everybody just sitting there yesing each other. Because how interesting could it be? Like, for example, I don't know if Chuck does any preparation, but I like the stories and I like the angle that he comes from with a lot of the things he says. Right? Then you have guys who are very professional at it, and I'm not saying that Chuck isn't, but they have stuff written on paper.
You're talking about Charles Barkley, right?
Yeah, Charles Barkley. Yeah.
Come on. You know, we when you're saying Chuck, then people might be thinking Norris. So you got to clarify here. You got to clarify. We were just talking about Chuck Norris a segment ago, so please clarify.
That's fine.
So from that standpoint, I just think there's certain, you know, aspects of it that you need to be able to go back and forth on. I don't know if they will ever, you know, because they're so smart and basketball minded, I don't know if they'll ever, you know, have that back and forth that you almost need, right?
Well, so someone he's had a back and forth with recently, Stephen A. Smith, You know, this seems like it's been a never-ending saga.
LeBron hasn't said nothing about it, but Stephen A. keep talking about it.
Well, LeBron finally broke his silence today when he was on the Pat McAfee show. LeBron James used those very same ESPN airwaves to address the feud. He sat down and said he completely missed the point. Never would I ever not allow people who talk about the sport to criticize players about what they do on the court. That is your job to criticize. That is all a part of the game. But when you take it and get personal with it, it's my job not only to protect my damn household, but protect the players. I think a lot of the media, including him, and I know he's going to be happy as hell when he hears me talking about him, he's going to get home and grab some ice cream out of the bleeping freezer and sit in his chair in his tidy whities on the couch. Relax, bro. This is great. LeBron continues to rip the star and says that he's like on a Taylor Swift tour run right now. It started off with, I didn't want to address it, but since the video came out, I feel the need to address. You couldn't wait till the video comes out so you can address it. And since then, you know, the Bronny who he's been talking about has scored a career high both in NBA and G League. So, you know, things seem to be turning.
I don't really appreciate him bringing in Taylor Swift to the
next. Yeah,
I know it wasn't a he was to take a shot at your girl. No, relax, relax.
Here's what I don't know.
The thing I hate about all this.
Keep her name.
And I'm gonna take you for personal experience. Have you ever gone to a store? Have you ever gone to a place of business, right? And the person that comes to either serve you or help you says, "Bear with me. It's my first day." And they expect understanding from you. That applies to every profession other than sports. In sports, you got to be a Hall of Famer the second you play. Nobody ever says, you know what, after a couple of years of development, he might come into his own. Nope, they want to trash your ass right away. And so from that standpoint, if you're in basketball, okay, and you hear people talking about Bronny, I can name 30 players that started like Bronny and ended up being really good players. And a lot of them came through Miami. Think all the guys that started in Miami, like the Bruce Browns and guys like that. But we have no patience. So the first failure you see out of a guy, regardless, he wasn't a top five pick. He was barely drafted. So you think he's supposed to come into the league right away and be a baller? I don't care who his daddy is. It's going to take time. And because of where he started and how he started, it might take longer than other people. But to trash him for being in the league for 12 seconds is unfair. Because I tell you what, in any other place of business, they will not hesitate to tell you, I just got here. Be patient. I'm learning. But you can't do that in sports.
Let's hear from Heat Nation before we head to a quick break. We got Ricardo on the line. Ricardo.
Marcos, Leroy, Vlad, and J-Fig. How are you guys doing on this hump day?
Hello.
Excellent,
We good.
Humpy.
What?
Humpy.
Not sure if that's...
Probably not an adjective you should be using.
Not sure. Other than that, Ricardo, what you got, buddy?
I got so much on my mind, but not enough time to do it. But I will say, firstly, yeah... Marcos, enough with the Jimmy Butler slander, man.
I mean, look, he had an opportunity to change my mind. Look, we're done. Leroy said it. We're done after yesterday's beatdown. We'll go. Bygones will be bygones after this.
Oh, Jesus. And then there's that,
I want to thank Jimmy.
Why is that?
You know why?
You thank Jimmy.
I'm going to thank Jimmy.
Huh.
Because of his performance last night. I get half off my pizza.
Oh, you can use my code, by the way, Ricardo. You can use my code. HeatWin, by the way. 50% off.
So even the loss, Jimmy's still giving.
That's nice. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Thank you, Jimmy. Appreciate the hat.
Oh, Ricardo, let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
We've seen, like, this team, the Warriors, mm-hmm. kind of look like the Heat with Jimmy the last however long.
Yes, sir.
Right? Mm-hmm. Why are we making Jimmy to be something he's not? Like, Jimmy played a Jimmy basketball game last night. There are times where he could go off for 30 or 40, but for the most part, he going to score 15 to 20. He going to have 8 to 10 rebounds, maybe 5 to 10 assists. He going to have a couple of steals. He going to do all those things, right? This is what he's always been. Can yes. that guy be your number one?
That's you know what, I'm not gonna be Tobin here. I'm gonna give you an answer. I'm gonna say no now. Because that's he right. basically put him hold on, Marcus. He put himself on a team that already has a number one. So right. his designated spot is already gonna be a number two, and everything that you mentioned with the rebounds, the assists, getting other players engaged in the game so that they can perform and maybe outperform their normal expectations to where team basketball can win them the games, right? Whether with or without Steph Curry. But there's going to be instances like last night where, all right, Steph's out. Number two, you got to be number one. And you have been number one in previous years of other teams that you've been in before, especially with Miami. You got to show that, right? In times where you got to win the game, regardless of playoff expectations or not. Jimmy didn't show any of that last night. We saw a typical laissez-faire, you know, I'm going to sit back. This game don't really have much weight to it type of Jimmy. Damn, he was sitting laughing and chuckling with Draymond when the game ended, like if they didn't just lose by 25 points or however right. much they lost by.
Yeah, I've seen that trick before.
I don't really know what the mentality with Jimmy is right now. Maybe it was his ploy all along to play like that. Or whether it wasn't, but to be honest, Leroy, to answer that question, he can't be a number one because I feel like his mentality has changed ever since all of this drama and stuff that he's gone through and things like that.
He was like that before then. Like he was the guy that was doing all the things you just talked about before the drama of this year. And if you're Pat Riley and you're seeing, hey, my star is scoring around 15 to 20 points. He's touching them all. He's getting everybody involved. Okay. But mm-hmm. in those moments where I need him to take over a game, for whatever reason, he's not doing it. And he's only playing 60 to 65 games. So you put all that together. Why would anybody pay him?
Yeah. I would be asking that question. It would make me ask more or a lot out of him. Like, hey, you know, why can't you?
That's
do
what Pat did. Pat said, point blank, I need him to play more games. And Jimmy started the season by saying, I agree. I'm just going to go hoop. Does anybody remember that conversation or is it just me?
Yep.
Of Jimmy saying, I'm
then
just going to
lied.
Hoop.
I remember that. But then how Tobin would put it, right, Leroy, that there was moments in the season because he didn't automatically just start pooping the bed when the season started. He was playing well. And then there was just these bumps in the road, these loss of leads in the fourth, and these detrimental losses that just built up the pot, started boiling the pot over, and then Detroit came through and boom. Ever since then, it was just like, well, even if I gave my 110,000%, the rest of the team around me is not doing their part in terms of winning the games that we had leads over or we couldn't finish and things like that. Like, I feel like it's a mentality point for Jimmy at that range, and that's where we're at. And
not for nothing, one of the signs of a true star, a true number one, he can get everybody else involved and get his when needed. It's not one or the other.
Well, I hope you know I have to now pay Ricardo for his appearance on the show after that phone call. That was at least $35 worth of material there. even though he was pro Jimmy, we'll forgive him. We're going to go ahead and call it a show. Frog Week continues tomorrow. J-Fig, Leroy, Vlad will be back right here, bright and early, 10 to 2 tomorrow. We'll catch you then.